in her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool.
Let us know where Matt LaFleur ranks in the NFL returning head coaches list. Pro Football Focus just put out a list. Matt LaFleur not on it in its top 10. Egregious omission or fair? Let us know, 800-990-3776. We will also get to your reaction to Alex Stroh's first pitch. Lots of people lining up to weigh in on what sport Alex Stroh should be allowed to participate in after his disastrous first pitch last night at the Chinooks game. And speaking of pitching, holy moly. Another outing by Jacob Mizorowski for the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday, going head-to-head against Paul Skeens of your Pittsburgh Pirates. And look, this game had all of the hype. It was a sellout crowd at AmFam Field. It was electric. Our guy Gabe Neitzel was out there posting videos from the game. I don't think I've ever seen AmFam Field like that for a regular season game. Joshy, you got some audio from the game? You got some highlights from the game yesterday?
I sure do. The one thing I do want to mention that I found exceptionally impressive was this was a bigger attended, more attended game than opening day, really? Which is usually one of the bigger ones. It was a Wednesday at 1 p.m., and Brewers fans showed out in such a way to watch, I think, a game that totally delivered.
Totally.
And yeah, I'd love for us to hear some of the sounds of the Miz on the mound.
The 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Breaking ball down and away. And what a start for the Miz here this afternoon. Listen to this crowd.
Yeah, the crowd was incredible. It was popping. I watched it on television. It was definitely popping through the television. Like I said, Gabe was there if you want to check out any of his videos. Chewy, your reaction yesterday, you actually got to watch some of the game. Mm-hmm. You got to see the Miz and his, you know, triple-digit stuff going up against one of the best pitchers in the game right now in Paul Skeens, and it wasn't even close. The Miz absolutely out-dueled Paul Skeens yesterday.
All right, first, you got to balance it out.
OMG.
Okay, you got to balance it out because
the big poopers here.
Because Pittsburgh's offense is the Tennessee Titans. The Brewers offense, give me a comp, is whose offense? Because everything goes back to the NFL.
Well, they're not a top offense in the
Certainly
National
not.
League.
So
but they are hot right now.
Pittsburgh's at the bottom or near the bottom. And let's just say the Brewers are the middle of the pack. So before he out-dueled, let's just pump the brake.
No, but he did, Chew. Like, I know you're saying that their lineup stinks, so it was easier for him to get eight strikeouts than it was for Skeens to sit down some of these Brewers guys who are hot right now. I understand that. But, like, Skeens looked rattled.
He did. And Miz did look much. I'm just blown away on how his off-speed stuff and his secondary and third pitches are still 90s. Like 96 miles an hour.
Yeah, and that's the one big thing about him is it's not just that he's throwing 100, 102, 101 with regularity and making it look easy. It's that his breaking stuff is good and very hard to hit. That front side, front door slider / cutter, the Miz, as Levery named it, like, right-handed hitters had no idea what to do with it.
No, but even his curve is at like 90.
He was making professional baseball hitters, now not all the best, but I mean, O'Neill Cruz is one of the young phenoms. He's not the best at contact, but he, against the Brewers, he hit like the all-time hardest hit ball in StatCast history. Like, that guy is good at the sport. And they have Andrew McCutchen out there who's playing fairly well this season. Like, they have talent. It's just the way he approaches the game, Mizorowski, is you could tell he doesn't, the moment isn't at any point big for
him.
And
I thought it might have been yesterday, but it's not.
No. It seems like he has the utmost confidence, and sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and his youth certainly probably helps at this point. But at no point did I think, even when he got the two runners on situation, was I like, oh, there's nothing we can do here. It's no, he's going to deliver his pitches. He's going to throw them well. And he has the upper hand on all the hitters.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but he gave up a leadoff walk, right?
Yep.
First guy, first hitter in the lineup, boom, walks him. And I was going, okay, dial it in. Like, let's lock this down. He ended up with two walks for the game.
Correct.
And that leadoff walk, got to third. And I was going, oh, shoot, that's going to score a run. Brewers are going to be down, you know. And it doesn't help that I had a little money on the outcome of the first inning.
Oh, now here we go.
Little tie action over at my friends at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. So I was paying very close attention to this. But he got out of it. Like, that to me was the sign of most young pitchers walk the first guy. He gets over to third. And there may have been two outs at the time. But either way, maybe it was one out. Either way, threatening to a run in the first inning. Most guys would get rattled by that. He doesn't. And so there's a lot of like things to like about what's going on. A 3-0 record, a 1.13 ERA in those three starts. He struck out 19, only allowed three hits, and he has seven walks over 16 innings. So even when he first took the mound, Joshy, and we were worried that maybe the walks were going to be an issue for him, he has locked it up. And so like the even marginal improvement for a guy who is already expected to be a top tier, you know, what were we looking at yesterday, Joshy? His rookie of the year odds at Pottawatomie have sunk like a rock.
Yeah, he's now the prohibitive favorite. He's minus 129. Yesterday, it was plus 175. And a week ago, it was around the plus 700 number. He's delivered in a way that I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. It's been three starts. We're getting excited. But this doesn't really happen. And I don't know if there's much precedence within the Brewers and across the league. There's been guys who've come up and certainly impressed, but he's given up three hits and three. He has three wins. Like the strikeout numbers in this one, I think got inflated because it is the Pirates. They have a tendency to swing and miss, but it's absolutely composed out there. And it starts making you think like, well, I feel a lot better about a playoff series if you got a guy like that on the mound.
So, do we need to think bigger? Do we need to think Cy Young?
I need to look up the requirements for him to be a Cy Young. It'd be hard to beat Paul Skeens, who's the best pitcher in baseball right now, even though the Brewers got to him and gave him his worst inning of the season so far by scoring four runs. He's not quite there yet because we also don't know what the Brewers are going to limit him in terms of innings and pitches thrown. They do that with young guys because they don't throw a whole lot until they get to the big leagues. Like, you're trying to protect their arms, prolong them, and try and avoid any long-term. You know, you don't want him missing for Tommy John at 23 years old. So I don't know if he'll meet the thresholds to be there, but it seems like rookie of the year is a shoe-in.
Yeah.
And then moving forward, we need to start really thinking we might have another Cy Young like we did in Corbin.
I'm already moved on to the trade deadline.
To qualify for the Cy Young Award and be eligible for the ERA title, a pitcher needs to pitch at least 162 innings. That's the standard threshold used to determine statistical leaders in earned run average, according to MLB.com. Go ahead, Chu.
But I'm already on to the trade deadline because once they get Woodruff back, all right, that's a solid.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Really
glad you brought that up because ESPN.com put out an article just earlier this week that had Freddie Peralta with the fourth best odds in the league. I believe it was league. I don't think it was National League. I think it was all MLB.
So
of
he
being
was,
traded.
He no to he was only 20% to be traded, but he was the fourth highest.
Thank you.
Option.
The, yes. Fourth. Yes. Like the odds were not right. Yes. Right. It was the fourth highest percentage of a guy to be traded at the trade deadline. And probably because we heard that news last week about how Freddie had asked for an extension or had approached the Brewers about an extension and was basically told no.
Yeah. And I mean, he's coveted. He's extremely good. He's going to be an all-star. He's a guy that, had it not be for Paul Skeens, would probably be close to the running and a couple good starts away from actually having a chance at it. Like, he's pitching that well. I have a hard time seeing the Brewers trade him this season with the way the season is going.
Yeah.
I think they would do probably a Willy Adames style thing and just say, hey, it's probably better for us and we can take a team farther with him, even though we're not going to get a whole lot on the back end, because it does seem like teams are kind of willing to give up less and less now at the trade deadline for a guy they know they can't guarantee is going to be there long term. Because a lot of those things, once you get traded, those guys often will end up on a third team when the new season starts.
So then your buyers at the trade deadline.
There's been a case for the Brewers to be involved in a lot of the third base stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I think Jory Ortiz is playing much better. I just think you would want some security there and just sort of freeze him up to, you know, work on stuff, be a multi-use utility type of guy. At that, they want more power. The Brewers are not hitting home runs, and they certainly are winning without doing that. But it makes it a lot easier if, you know, one swing puts some runs on the board instead of having to grind out, steal bases, take extra bases on balls hit into the field.
Yeah, but with Woodruff coming back, that's three solid arms where you're going to keep runs down. You don't need to score 7-8
Correct.
Runs.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm pretty excited about that potential rotation of the Miz, Freddie Peralta, Jose Quintana, Chad Patrick, and I assume Woodruff slots in there?
Yeah. Yeah. And once you get to the playoffs, you don't need more.
No,
than
of
four.
Course. You'll shrink, obviously. Yeah. But for the remainder of the season, we're not at the All-Star break yet. That feels. And again, has there been a timeline on Woodruff? Have we seen now?
I don't know. Last I heard is probably the update we got from Levering where he was going to be doing some rehab starts. I mean, there's no reason to rush him back at this point.
Brandon Woodruff, once again, is on the cusp of a Major League Baseball return. Mm-hmm. that's what the Milwaukee
like
Journal Sentinel says.
My edict with the Bears, I don't care. I'm not listening to the gush. In the offseason, we got to have complete faith in this front office because I remember after the season, everyone's like, oh, Ananasio doesn't spend money, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? This front office figures it out. They're in a great position.
And I hear you, but then what's the expectation, Chu? Make the playoffs, make a run?
I tell you, if Woodruff comes back and he's close to where he was, with luck, because baseball, I think, takes a lot of luck, they can do it. They trade, maybe get a bat.
Do
they
what?
Can do it.
You keep saying
win it all.
Really?
Win it all. Win it all. Why not? Look at Arizona. Arizona won it a couple years ago. They were nothing special.
And I told you, I changed my tune. I've changed my approach, my philosophy with baseball. There have been seasons where I've gone, I'm just going to wait until the postseason. Like, I'm going to wait until the end of the year, like, get excited about it. I'll sort of drift in and drift out. Like, that was no fun. This is more fun. Being there and living and dying by every pitch, and I know Gabe us the song and dance a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Cubs series and how it wasn't, you can't have a big series in June. It's as big as I want to make it.
Yeah.
That's where I am right now. It's as big as I want to make it. And yesterday's game with the Miz on the mound and Paul Skeens on the mound was as big as baseball saw yesterday. All eyes of the sport were on Milwaukee and AmFam Field. That was cool.
I'm eyeball now. I mean, my eyeball is Saturday, Sunday at the lake. The Brewers are on the back TV, watch an inning, go do this, come back, watch another inning. I'm in. You got me. The hook is in.
Yeah, I tweeted it. I think, obviously, we have the guys, the Shohei Ohtanis of the world, but Mizorowski's appointment viewing, where people are going out of their way to say, like, I can't think of a guy that is more exciting, and certainly I have the homerness to it. But, I mean, he's given up three total hits in three starts. He's on no-hitter watch every time he goes out there. And until that stops being the norm, I'm going to view it as I need to be there and I need to see this. I need to clear the plans to watch Miz.
And this is going to sound crazy, but we always talk about how a guy goes out there and he's new and there's not a lot of tape on him. They only have him against minor leaguers. But then after the first few times he's out there, then every other opponent has film on a guy and you can sort of pick up his tendencies. Good luck. He could tell you what's coming. Maybe not where it's going to be in the strike zone or where it's going to be, but like, it's 100-plus mile-an-hour pitch.
Yeah.
You still got to catch up to it.
Yeah, what are most pitchers' sliders?
Not 96. They're probably low 90s, high 80s.
Wow.
I mean, I was thinking 88 for whatever reason was jumping to my mind for a slider, but...
Yeah, it's that pitch is... And that's the difference between he's not just a hard thrower. The stuff, and there's an actual stat of like a stuff rating... is some of the best in the league with the movement he's getting while the ball's coming at unprecedented speeds for a starter.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let us know what your excitement level is for the Miz and for the Brewers. And are you buying what Chewy is selling? Which is to say, if Woodruff comes back and is close to where he was before the injuries, this is a team that could win it all. And this is our pump the brakes, no gush guy. So you know it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus in the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Alex Stroff is going to join the show shortly.
I got a couple questions.
And we were talking about The Miz and how I swung over to Pottawatomie to put some bets on. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, known for its endless ways to win. Friday, June 27th, it's coming right up. They're showing Why That's the Standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. You've been playing Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty. Now watch those drawings roll into $300,000 in cash and prizes, which is up for grabs. Be there to win your share June 27th only at Pottawatomie. More information is available online. Must be 21 years old to play. Is there any way to figure out where the Brewers rotation ranks right now in the National League? Like, is there any way to sit there and go with this group of guys? And again, I know we're projecting Brandon Woodruff, but is there any way, Joshy, of knowing like where they would rank? I know ESPN sometimes puts out power rankings of teams and whatnot, and I'm talking rotation specific. Because I think Gabe has mentioned this to us before. The way the offense is performing right now, this is a high for them. Right? There were questions about their ability to maintain consistency, but right now it does feel like they are firing on all cylinders. They're getting production from a number of different guys. We obviously have talked about what Christian Yelich has been doing, and even when he doesn't have the big games, there is a long list of players who are figuring out how to get on base and then move runners around and get them in. This just feels different right now, Chu. And again, you are our don't get too high, don't get too low person, but it feels like it's safe to get excited about this Milwaukee Brewers team. Do you buy that, or is it, hey, Jen, same old, you're just going to be disappointed in the end?
No, I buy it. And I just looked at the power rankings. They're 10, up from 11. So they're in the mix. Now, I know it's a long season. A lot of things can happen. But it's a lot like football. A lot of teams, the hottest team at the end of the year winds up winning the thing. And that's not how it happens every year, but it certainly does. But they're coming together. They're coming together. I like where they're at right now. They're fairly healthy, right? They could stand to add a piece.
We've got some injuries, right? We're still watching the Garrett Mitchell thing. I think Levering tell us the other day that he's going to have another surgery on that shoulder.
But I mean, like, they have the Cubs at 4. I mean, are the Cubs that much better than the Brewers? I don't think so.
No, and when you look at it, especially with team pitching staffs, you can certainly correct for just like the starting rotation versus all the bullpen. And there's different ways to go about it. Like, they're 11th in team ERA right now. And that is obviously with some of the spot starts you've needed from some guys that haven't really been able to be out there. You can also look at things like, you know, team whip, which is walks, hits, and innings pitched. It's a number that kind of tells you and gives you a good ranking. And the Brewers are near the top or better than most in a lot of those advanced metrics that you look at to not get too weedsy on it. But like, an ERA is a pretty good measure, and it would seem like the Brewers are near the top 10, and that's not them at full strength for the majority of the season. Like, Jose Quintana came in sort of late into the rotation. We haven't seen Brandon Woodruff. What's his name? Nestor Cortez hasn't been around in how long? And there's been pleasant surprises from some of the guys that, frankly, we didn't know much about before the start of the season.
And I saw that Nestor Cortez is also getting closer to returning after his lengthy recovery from the injury as well. Sophia Minert tweeting yesterday that the Brewers now have the best record in baseball over the last 30 days, 20-8 since May 25th, a season high 9 games above 500. Again, a lot of that is not just the Miz being out there and getting those wins in his 3 starts, but also the way that the offense is sort of coming on. And what we're trying to figure out is this sustainable? There are certainly still going to be ebbs and flows. There are certainly still going to be hills and valleys. But is this sustainable to be putting out this sort of rotation? The Miz and Freddie Peralta and Jose Quintana and Chad Patrick. And when Woodruff comes back, inserting him into that. And then also getting the offensive production that you have gotten from some of these younger guys. Like, that's the recipe, right? I don't want to, you know, oversimplify it, but that seems to be the recipe, and that is something the Brewers have been doing really well lately, so we are super excited about that, but I also am nervous about the bottom falling out. I am nervous about there being some sort of this-is-why-we-can't-have-nice-things moment for the Milwaukee Brewers, and I am tempering that little voice. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm tempering that voice.
Could he be a coach's addition to the All-Star game?
Mizrowski?
Yeah.
I think you could do it. They find ways to get guys in who deserve it. I don't know if they're going to be so quick to put a young guy who, by the time the All-Star break will happen, what do they have, 4 or 5
starts?
Yeah, but
what if he's undefeated with, you know what I'm saying, 9 hits?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. And
we're only 5 series away from the All-Star game, by the way.
Right. So, I mean, he could have, by that time, enough starts to sort of make an impression. But you typically give that to the veteran guys before you usher in the 23-year-old who has had a cup of coffee in the bigs.
That's a tie-in cup of coffee, though.
He may only have 2 more starts,
right?
You know, the way that this shakes out between now and then.
Yeah.
So to your point, he could be 5-0, and he could have given up 5 hits, which would be awesome.
I would make an argument that it would be smart for them to figure out a way
to get him there.
Yes.
Have him walk the red carpet.
Yes.
Or sit in the trucks or whatever it is that they do for the All-Star game.
In terms of PR, getting people excited about the young players, I don't think he's probably necessarily the most charismatic young fella at this point.
There's a little Mike Trout to him.
Yes. But I kind of like my baseball players.
Do we have to worry about Steady Freddy getting a little jealous or no?
I can't imagine so.
You know what? Players get jealous. I'm just telling you, they get jealous.
Yeah, but it's not like Mizrowski is going to get paid more.
No, but it's all spotlight.
Yeah, but Freddie's probably going to be there anyways.
Okay, I'm just saying. Just saying, players get a little jealous.
I don't see it, but that doesn't mean you might. And look, sometimes you get jealous, but you don't say that you're jealous, right? Sometimes you get that tweak of envy, but you go, you know what? Shut up, right? You tell
Tough
the envy.
Cookies.
You tell the envy. You're like, get over it. Get over yourself.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Freddie, we'd be talking about you if you've done the same thing.
I'm not speaking from experience or anything. It's just this more hypothetical speaking. Let's take a break here on Jen Gabe and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to, and I do want to get to Alex Stroh and all of the reaction that rolled in this morning. Asking what sport Alex Stroh should attempt next, what sport we feel confident and comfortable with him doing. St. Kate the Arts Hotel is where you should stay if you are in Milwaukee planning to visit the city, or maybe you just need a night out. Enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's conveniently located in the heart of downtown Milwaukee in the Theater District. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, artist in residence. That means that there is an artist doing their art in a gallery that you can walk past and watch. Very cool. They also have nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate, so book now. StKatearts.com, StKatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. Southeastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area. And coming in the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District. Have beverage needs for that upcoming party? Neat Beverage Catering offers mobile bartending to elevate that event. And lastly, but certainly not least, I want to tell you about the stunning riverfront bar inside the Associated Bank River Center Vault. A perfect summer spot before a night out in the town or a ball game. Go there before watching The Miz. Featuring happy hour specials, a menu with tremendous flatbreads and raw bar, and of course, an incredible view of the Milwaukee River.
Popped over to our friends on 620 this morning, and they were talking about the Ketel Marte situation. So, you probably saw Arizona Diamondbacks Ketel Marte breaking down in tears mid-game after a fan's verbal assault. That's what it's being called, a verbal assault. The fallout from that is that the fan has now been banned from all major league ballparks. Apparently, the fan was shouting at Marte about his late mother. His mom died in a car accident in 2017. The fan was commenting on that or heckling him about that. It obviously made him visibly emotional. And Major League Baseball stepped in. The White Sox stepped in and said, get out of here. Joshy, you shared a video with us of the guy being escorted out of the ballpark. And then they said, you're not allowed at any ballpark going forward, which reminds us that, like, being a fan is a privilege. When you go there, it is not your seat. You are renting the seat. There's a certain level of behavior that is expected. But Chewy, what I told the guys on 620 is this is a gray area for me. I know, and I'm not endorsing or condoning talking about someone's dead mother to try to get a rise out of them, to try to knock them off of, you know, whatever mental locked in space they're in. But we do reward fans, or at least encourage them, to try to create a home field, home court advantage. So what is in bounds? What are the things that you can say to try to, like, get under a guy's skin and affect their performance that won't get you kicked out of a ballpark?
I think this is so far. This guy's low-life scum. I mean, I wouldn't even say this to an enemy. He's a scum. This is Twitter scum. Right here. This is what that is. I mean, what? I mean, I'm just absolutely so disgusted by it that you would do something like that to someone's dead mom who passed away in a car accident. You are a lowlife. It just blows my mind. And I get it. And you were telling me some of the stories at some of the college football games. What the hell's the matter with society? Where they say some of the things they do for personal gain.
Well, I'm it's sure just, you experience this on some
yeah,
level.
Yeah, but they would, yes, and I enjoyed some of it, but the line back in the day was, hey, Frank, why don't you have another donut? You know? Which we would chuckle at in New York and say, just please don't say anything about me. Can you announce this so I can get the hell out of here? That was the line. The level that it's out at now is just absolutely disgusting. And I'm trying to say, Philly was the worst, the Raiders were the worst, but they never even came close to where it's at today. And it's just, I mean, you couldn't pay me to go to the game again. You really can't. I have no desire. People are stupid. And I'm not talking to everyone, obviously, but do you think they were? Let me ask you a question, because we talked about it the other day. Were people always like this before Twitter or before social ways of sending trash out there? Did they always think like this and talk like this, and now they just have an avenue to put it out there?
I think people have always been hateful. But
they're
I think
jealous.
What contributes,
they're jealous.
Exactly. What yes. contributes to the hatefulness is mm-hmm. envy, which we were talking about earlier, because you can see so much of what people are putting out there. You know, think about back in the day. Think about our parents' generation. Our parents didn't know what was going on two towns over.
No.
You sort of knew what was going on in your backyard, on your street, in your town, and that was it. Right? So you didn't have to compare or keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Now you're getting fed every single person's life and you're sitting there comparing and contrasting. And I think that it creates shame and hatefulness. And then a lot of people's way of dealing with that is to throw it back out into the world. And it comes out that way.
Yeah.
But here's what I will say that's crazy to me is, so this is the line then? Now we know where the line is? Don't talk about people's dead moms? Because what Chewy said is accurate. I tell him about the stuff I hear on those college football sidelines. It makes me blush. I find it to be disgusting, disrespectful. And I looked at some of these kids and I was like, are you serious right now? Like, with all the recording devices that are rolling around, that's what you want to throw out there. But in their mind, Joshy, it is justified if they can get in the heads of the opponent. If even for a second that kid switches his focus from what he's going to do on the field to what did that guy just say about me? Then it's worth it for these fans. That's the way they justify it in their heads.
I think it has even less to do with actual like play results. And to me, it's an attempt to get attention on you, to take it away from the field and the athletes, and for people to go, oh my God, I can't believe that guy said that.
I agree.
Certainly rooting and being a fan and contributing, there's certainly ways to contribute towards your team or attempt to, and for the betterment. This to me is a life led without repercussions. It's somebody who's never said that to another person, and that person reacted with, well, now you're going to have to pay for it. You're either going to physically be in an altercation, or you're going to suffer the punishment, which we now see is you are now lifetime banned from MLB games. I hope you like it. This was a young person, very young. And I think that's informative here.
But you know what, Josh? I guarantee he has already gone around town and said, hey, I'm the guy in the video.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Ain't I great? No, you're a scum. You're a loser.
Yes.
You know? And if I was at that ballpark, I would have said something to the guy, you know?
It seemed like, from the videos I've seen, it seemed like the people around him were rather unhappy. They were same fan of it was the White Sox, right?
Yeah.
The game it was at. It seemed like the people around him wanted him removed as well.
They were embarrassed.
They were rooting for the same team. Because, yeah, someone's mother, someone's family is untouchable. And to me, I'm there to root for my team. I'll boo Craig Counsell. I'll boo Jesse Winker.
Which is fine.
But it's all because of what they did on the field. I'm not concerned with their off-field stuff unless they're like somebody who has a bad, like a Trevor Bauer. I'd love to root against him. Bad guy.
And who's vested in a team that much when you suck? Right? The White Sox are terrible.
Maybe there's some of that frustration as well with the team underperforming and you're a fan of a team that hasn't delivered the way that you want them to. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not justifying the behavior, but I do think this is such an interesting study, a case study in we continue to reward attention. We continue to recognize that the extremes are what get attention.
Yeah.
I hear people all the time say, the middle gets no juice. Doesn't do you any good to ride the fence. You got to be way left or way right. And I'm not just talking politics. I'm talking about with your takes. I'm talking about with your opinions. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about all of it. They tell you that's what sells. And we keep seeing that. And not only are we seeing it, but we're seeing it be rewarded. And so, Josh, to your point, like, again, this fan was in the wrong. I want to be clear so somebody doesn't come at me and say, I can't believe you defended what the fan was saying. I'm saying we've created an environment that has rewarded this type of behavior. Mm-hmm. And then we're upset when somebody tries to reap the benefits of the environment we've created.
Right. It's not that way, even though you constantly get feedback on the attention, because that's a large part of what this all is all based on. There's also a thing that, and it happens mainly in football, where people taunt, I mean, NFL athletes are superhumans. And they taunt those people, and it's like, yeah, you have the protection of the stands and the separation there, but I would be terrified if a big defensive lineman got attention on me. Like, are you not afraid that that person, like, we've seen it happen. We've seen stuff make it into the stands, and is there no worry from you that these people might lose it? There might be a snap here. Instead of Ketel Marte crying, what's stopping him from going into the stands?
But that's why
I don't think anyone's stopping him.
We talked about Aaron the other day, and like, dude, why do you listen?
The rabbit ears.
Why do you listen? You play in stadiums where people say this stuff, and you dismiss it, and you go out and play well, and now it affects you in your personal life. Who cares? People don't like me. I could care less if you don't like me. You know what I do to you? I don't like you back. Very simple. Who cares? Hate away. What do they say? Let haters hate?
Or even the Mad Men line, I don't think about you at all.
I don't.
You know?
Yeah.
But I also think it's interesting, and I brought this up on 620 with the guys. We are not that far removed, guys, from watching Tyrese Halliburton's dad, John, walk out onto the court after eliminating the Bucks, shaking the Tyrese Halliburton flag in Giannis's face, you know, taunting him about mm-hmm. the loss. And then there were people who were like, that wasn't out of bounds. That was just a proud dad. He was just out there. You know what I mean? So, like, again, there's a lot of nuance here when it comes to fans and fans' behavior and fans' interaction with players. And I do appreciate that this situation has sort of drawn a line in the sand. We now know that that's at least a boundary. Mm-hmm. That's a guardrail, right? And so for all the things, like I've said, I've heard while standing on the sidelines of college football games and going, you kiss your mother with that mouth? Yes, now we know mothers are off limits.
I would hope this is sort of a precedent for other leagues where I don't know if that should be where the line is. I wouldn't be opposed to, like, we've seen people screaming at athletes about their parlays. Guess what? You're done.
Oh, Gabby Thomas, right? Yeah. The Gabby Thomas thing.
It happens way more than I think we recognize because athletes at this point are so used to it. You see it constantly on the internet of people getting mad at somebody. But that's happening also there. Like, the standard should be if you step out of line, banned. No longer allowed here. Sorry. Mm-hmm. We have our rules, and you didn't meet the expectation of a fan.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Appreciate the conversation, gentlemen. 10 years ago, the Badgers basketball team made a run in March that was magical. Wisconsin basketball made them believe. On Thursday, June 26, you can join the stars from that squad as they remember and celebrate the 2015 run to Indy. And look, Ben Bruss has put together an all-star cast of folks who are going to be at this event. So go to UWHoops2015.com. That's UWHoops2015.com to get your tickets now. Untold stories, memories from that season, and special guests are sure to be a thrill. June 26th at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets are on sale now at UWHoops2015.com. Ben said they are close to selling out. Few more ticket sales and they will get there. So if you want to be there, UWHoops2015.com, UWHoops2015.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed when I said wait. Did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report, and they found that while 75% of people believe it is wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are actually in therapy. And look, when people hesitate to get help when they need it, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their families, their workplaces, their entire communities. BetterHelp is trying to change that. They are the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and they want you to join their team. We are all better with help. So go to betterhelp.com/timeout, and you'll get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/timeout, because we're all better with help. I'm not sure anything can help Alex Strofe. Alex Strofe joins us now on the phone. Alex, we've been showing your video of the first pitch yesterday at the Chinooks. First, I'm going to give you the opportunity to explain yourself. What the hell happened, man?
Well, I don't know that I have an excuse, Jen. I didn't warm up. Is that an excuse?
Not if you're an athlete.
Why
am I an athlete?
No, you're the farthest.
Why didn't you warm up, though, man? When I threw out the first pitch for the White Sox, I threw a bunch of pitches underneath in the concourse area just so that the first one wasn't the one that flew 10 feet over the catcher.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Me and Kyle Wallace both threw out a first pitch. His much better than mine. And we agreed not to warm up. So I think that's going to be the excuse I use for why this went so poorly. I think it's because I didn't warm up. I'd like another crack at it.
No,
I tried
to throw that
thing as hard as I could. What do you mean no?
Are you accepting?
Why did you try to throw it hard?
Because Ben Bruss wasn't wearing a mask like I advised him to.
Are you accepting your ban? Your 1 year ban?
No, no, no. Good news for you too. My first tee time of the year tomorrow, baby. I'm gonna be swinging them straight.
Oh,
can you
no.
take
There's
video?
Zero chance.
Because we're getting a lot of mileage out of this.
Well, Josh, it's one of Josh's favorite clips, Chewy. I don't know if you've seen it, but a couple of years ago, I go to University Ridge in Madison, and with my pitching wedge, I missed the ball 8 times in a row.
Not shocked. Does not shock
No, you
me.
Shouldn't be.
Please set up a camera, at least for a yes. few tee shots. We would love to see the athleticism on display yet again. Alex Strofe, kind enough to join us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we give him grief for the horrible, atrocious first pitch yesterday at the Chinooks game. Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.